So continuing today our sermon series in 1 Corinthians, and I'd like to turn to this passage and perhaps find something that can serve as a bookmark. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 12, and Helen's going to read it. It's on page 1148 in the Pew Bible.
Verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. This is the word of the Lord.
You'll find the gospel reading on page 969 in your pew Bibles if you would like to follow it. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated, and you might like to turn back to our reading from 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12 on page 1148. You probably know the old adage, if you find a perfect church, don't join it. You don't need to spoil it. And we've already seen that the church in Corinth, despite being founded by the Apostle Paul, has certainly got issues. Remember their factions, their divisions, the different groups that they follow. And then there's that notorious case of sexual immorality, which Paul says not even the pagans would tolerate, but which the Corinthians seem to celebrate. And last time we looked at the letter, you considered this issue of some lawsuits amongst believers. Well, now it seems that some of the Corinthians even are frequenting prostitutes. You just look down at verse 12, you see that the editors of our Bible have put the first little bit in inverted commas. Everything is permissible for me. And this is one of a number of times in the letter where it seems that Paul quotes what some of the Corinthians were saying. This seems to be one of their favourite slogans. Everything is permissible for me. They're perhaps some super spiritual sort of type, and you can perhaps see how this kind of idea might follow from a sort of distorted version of what Paul has been saying to them. So, if you look back at verse 11, Paul is actually encouraging them here to live godly, transformed lives, but he says, you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. You can see how someone might take that kind of idea and run off with it in the wrong direction. Well, God has forgiven me. God has put me right with him. I'm already sanctified, already clean, already holy. Why does it matter how I live? Well, Paul says, not everything is beneficial. There is a right way to live, a right way to respond to the grace of God, a way that is appropriate and fitting and good, life according to the Maker's instructions, life in the light of the gospel. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything, Paul says. The Christians in Corinth perhaps claimed a sort of exaggerated Christian freedom. God has set us free. We can do what we like. But Paul says, no, don't go back to being mastered by sin. You've been set free from sin, not to sin. Set free to live for Jesus. Don't let sin master you. And in this next verse, verse 13, probably our editors should have put the inverted commas around the next bit too. Seems likely that the Corinthians said, food for the stomach and stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. He's thinking actually mainly in the next section, isn't he, about sexual immorality. He's saying, well, you know, sex is a kind of natural appetite, the Corinthians might have claimed, just like hunger. And if we have these appetites, surely it's right to satisfy them. And what does the body matter anyway? Well, God will destroy both the food and stomach, that some of the Corinthians claimed. The Greeks were generally quite down on the body. They had this very divided view between the spiritual and the material. The body was seen as a kind of prison which we need to escape from. You can see how perhaps the Christians thought, well, we're spiritual. It doesn't matter what we do with our bodies. But Paul points instead to the resurrection of the body, verse 14. By his power, God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, and he will raise us also. Obviously, the body matters to God. He didn't leave Jesus' body in the tomb. He's going to transform and raise our bodies too. Paul reminds them in verse 15 that they're actually members, part of the body of Christ. He's going to expand on this later in the letter. So he has that powerful rhetorical question. You know that you're members of Christ, part of his body. You're united with Christ. So should I take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. It's totally incongruous, isn't it? Totally unthinkable for the Christian. Do you not know, Paul says, that whoever unites himself with a prostitute becomes one with her. That one flesh relationship that God designed for marriage between one man and one woman. We're united with the Lord. Let's not unite ourselves with immorality. Rather, verse 18, we are to flee from it. Flee from sexual immorality. Not flirt with it, or dabble with it, or see how close you can get to it, but flee from it. He says, if you see sexual immorality, go the other way. Run away. It's a challenge in our society, as it was in their society, where the values around us are far from the values of Scripture. Sexual immorality is in a way different from other sins, Paul says, because other sins are outside the body, but someone who sins sexually sins against their own body. The body really matters. And then that remarkable claim in verse 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit whom you have received from God? Elsewhere, Paul says that the church is the temple of God's Holy Spirit. So here he says that about the individual Christian. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Think about all the chapters and chapters of the Old Testament, about the regulations for the making and the operating of the tabernacle and the temple. It was so special and holy, dedicated to God, very strict terms of access, all those kind of no entry signs, showing us that it wasn't a simple and easy thing to come to God. God's presence, his spirit, dwelt there in that temple. And then Paul makes the staggering claim that the Holy Spirit lives in us as Christian believers, as in our bodies. That great holiness and specialness of the tabernacle and the temple belongs to us. It really matters, Paul says, what we do with our bodies. Verse 19 contains a very striking principle. You are not your own. This is very countercultural in our day and age, isn't it? One of our most cherished values is personal autonomy. Well, it's my life. I can do what I like. I decide for myself. Think about the debates around assisted suicide. There are many practical arguments against assisted suicide, but for the Christian, there's an in-principle argument against it too, isn't there? Not, well, it's my life, I can do with it what I like. But Paul says you're not your own. God made you. Secondly, you belong to God not only by creation and redemption, but also by redemption, verse 20. You were bought at a price. Jesus gave himself for you. You belong to him in this double way. We're not to live simply for ourselves, but for the God who made us, who owns us, who saves us. So here is an aspiration, an application for the Christian then. Therefore, honour God with your body. How can we live lives as Christians in the light of the gospel, in the light of the fact that we've been cleansed from sin and set free, that we'll honour God with our bodies, in the light of our destiny as those for whom Christ died, whose bodies will be raised and transformed and glorified. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for our freedom from sin, for our cleansing from all unrighteousness. We pray that you would help us to live appropriately in the light of all that you have done for us, to flee sexual immorality, and to glorify you with our bodies, for Jesus' sake.